Alright, and there goes Facebook Live video, which will be downloaded and re-uploaded to the YouTube's video. And there goes podcast audio recording. And we have the Blog Talk Radio on. Might catch someone on the phone line at 347-857-3937. Most likely will not. And that's a fair dadgummit deal, all right. Let's get this gosh darn thing up and or running. Wait a second. Let me try it again. All right. Ugh.
Now, sisters and brothers, we know we got over by the blood, the sweat, and the tears of sheroes and heroes, some whose names we know and some whose names we do not know. But I'm going to tell you something. We have been here before. Now, the only difference is we got some company, Rev. We got our gay lesbian sisters and brothers with us this time. We got our Hispanic, Asian, Native American sisters and brothers with us this time. I think Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King said we may not have gotten here on the same ship, but we are in the same boat right now.
In Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
Alright, Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, Father Teresa, the greatest black atheist, Phoenix Collider, the uppity negress, as William J. Blackass Motherfucker, aka Darkskin Nigglesworth. You can follow Phoenix Collider on the Twitters, uppity negress, two P's, two T's, two S's, uppity negress. And sharing this to my timeline, got it up at winecellarmedia.com. And if it went to winecellarmedia.com, then it went to the winecellarmedia.com Facebook page by default. There is a Blog Talk Radio of it. 347-857-3937. There's Jan Logo posted up there in the archive chat space. Jan Logo just posted 10 bars. Hot rhymes, hot rhymes.
Is there a Twitter?
Oh, it does automatically post to the Twitters. Yes. At the Father... No, the Black Podcast Twitter, actually. Fool. Thought you knew.
At Wine Cellar Media.
Yeah, it should be Wine Cellar Media. Wait, you forgot, didn't you?
No, I'm telling you, it's at what...
Oh, it is? Yeah, at Wine Cellar Media? Okay, everything's coming together.
We're going to figure out this branding shit eventually.
Yeah, I don't remember what I did. I follow some trans folks on the Facebooks, black trans folks, white trans folks. I think actually I only follow black and white trans folks. I don't think there's anybody else. I don't think so. And one of them niggas, they wanted to keep their name out of the post, but they were like, yeah, motherfucking share that shit. And so this is a post from a white trans woman I follow. I thought this was interesting because they post like personal journal shit, you know, thoughts about shit. It's a very academic motherfucker.
Yeah.
And they put this up, kind of ripped through it really fast, right? to get this there. It says, and it has a content warning, classism, racism, abuse, homophobia. And it says, racism and classism are not innate. They are taught and learned across generations, learned in families, among friends, in school. In every way, our interactions with other people and our physical surroundings are built from the ground up as rich white people. I grew up rich, as in probably 1%. Oh, excuse me. And as in my dad makes up to a solid $500,000 a year. At one point, my dad owned 2 houses, several cars, 2.5 boats, and 2 jet skis. And yet, somehow, I didn't know we were wealthy because everyone we interacted with was also white and wealthy. And my dad refused to talk about money, and I never knew how much he made before a year ago when my stepmom told me. They didn't say mom. I did that for no reason. Continues with actual quotes. We were taught racism and classism simultaneously, that all white folks are rich and all people of color, especially black folks, are poor because they don't work hard enough. I learned that we should never give to poor folks because they'll inevitably use it on drogas. Or because they're actually faking being poor and are just panhandling because it's easier than working. I learned that you show your love to someone by how much money you spend on them. My dad spent tens or hundreds of thousands on jewelry for my mom, especially when he abused her really bad, to show he loved her. Despite, it's like he's God, continuing with actual quotes, despite that she rarely, if ever, actually wore jewelry. When I inevitably distanced myself from my father for my own safety as a queer trans woman and abuse survivor, he attempted to show he still loved me by offering to start a charity for LGBT folks in a giant local area. This was also a bribe, so I didn't tell family and friends of his decades of abuse and alcoholism. When pressed whether the charity would go to a bunch of rich white cis queer folks, he exasperatedly claimed, "Well, it's still for the queers, so what does it matter?"
I like
End
it.
Quote. That's the whole thing. And that's a white trans woman I follow. They post a gang of shit like that. Some of it, this one's friends only, and so the nigga wanted their name off it, but like other shit be public and shit.
Yeah.
All right, skippy flippy dibba dooba dooba baba boo. Oh, you have that shit. So you have that shit, and then we get to Tariq Nasheed. This is one for Michael Graham, right?
Yes.
One for the
yes.
request.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And then he also would like us to do a Welsing Fuller episode because apparently he's a sadist.
All right. You want to hear? I got to brush up on my Welsing well. Like, I would really like to push that back to, like, when I could take, like, a whole day and listen to Welsing interviews and get clips. Because she's been on Gus T. Renegade's Cows program a lot. And that's where she talks her wildest shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, like, he'll just let her go. And the thing is, she's among a crowd of faithful followers that just believe and feed back into it. So she says even wilder shit.
Yeah.
All well, right.
You can say wild shit when you're in your echo chamber. You know. All right. So the ambulance one?
Yeah. For some reason, my brain just clicked and I was like, I need ginger ale.
Oh, all right, man.
All right.
Also, just as a side note, I will probably do this story later on in the week. A woman actually got charged and arrested for rescuing animals during the hurricane. Because that's how police are using their resources during a hurricane, to arrest people for taking in abandoned cats and dogs.
Yeah.
Reasonable.
So fucking look. Hey.
Hey.
All right, little brown kids, you can separate them, but you don't separate little multicolored animals from their death. All right, all dogs go to heaven, and she just kept them on Earth longer. Fuck that.
And so they're trying to get them to go to heaven faster.
That, it was anti-heaven.
All right.
All right then.
All right.
Let us see known.
Whew. All right. so this is some Becky Lives Matter.
Awesome.
A little white on white crime.
Awesomer.
A lot is happening in this fucking story.
You sure about that?
I'm sure about that.
Oh, cool. I love stupid bullshit like this.
Yo, you know Gregory who listens?
And needed the instrumentals.
Yes.
Yeah.
He made a fucking gif out of that. I love stupid bullshit like this.
Oh, they went and found the episode and did it?
No, it's not a BoJack gif, but he just made a generic gif out of that with that saying on it. It was kind of funny.
I want to make a GIF images.
So, do so, I guess.
It's probably not that hard.
It's not. They have a thing. They have the meme makers, they have the gif maker thingy.
So I just download an application and just fucking do it while sitting on the toilet pushing out two meals at once.
Yes.
That's kind of how I do things because I don't like to go at work. So I try to get it all out of there while I'm at home.
Nobody wanted to know that, William.
Respect the hustle.
Nobody wanted to know. A woman has been arrested in Oregon.
Oh, shit. I like it. Good stories come out. We got some good stories out of Oregon, buddy.
You'll find out. Oh, never mind.
Oh, you're trying to do it my style.
I was, but the first five sentences of the whole thing all happened in there. God damn it. Spoiler alert. She stole an ambulance.
Confiscated. Discovered.
Reappropriated.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
An Oregon woman is charged with stealing an ambulance last Sunday while paramedics were performing CPR on an unconscious woman.
All
right. So she stole the ambulance with someone in it. That's amazing. Upon being arrested, Christy Lynn Woods, age 37, of Roseburg, said, "But why did they leave it unlocked?"
Ooh, that's... Damn! God damn! You can't comment on that. She's a fucking bully. That's bully shit, man. That's...
But why did they leave it unlocked? So that's what she said when she got arrested. According to court documents, Woods drove the ambulance through downtown Roseburg, then proceeded onto Interstate 5, leading police on a chase for nearly 30 miles, reaching speeds of 85 miles per hour.
So that was her white Bronco.
Yes. At one point, Woods struck a police vehicle that was traveling ahead of her to divert traffic. The impact totaled the police vehicle and left... I love Oregon State Police Sergeant Ken Terry with injuries. He didn't die, though, so I mean, this is not that great. later, Woods drove the ambulance over a strip of spikes set up by police near Rice Valley and eventually exited the ambulance at a gas station.
Yeah.
Where she was arrested.
I got some little Debbie snacks and shit.
Woo! It's fucking wild. But wait, there's more.
No, there's not.
There is.
Nah, bullshit.
This was Woods' eighth arrest this year.
What?
Yeah. Yes. Woods was booked on 13 charges, including assault, interfering with paramedics, criminal mischief, and reckless driving. According to Portland's KOIN-TV, it was Woods' 39th arrest in Douglas County since 2013.
It's Moral Monday, and you're in the wine cellar.
39 times! 39?
Since
2013! That's not that long!
Can we pass a fucking 38 strikes law for white people? 38. You get 38 strikes. And if you're stabbing somebody, you get 7 stabs. If you can't kill them in a lucky 7, it wasn't meant to be. Referencing back to a skinhead on skinhead crime we covered recently.
Yes.
I was listening to that at work today because I have my Bluetooth headphones in because they put me on a fucking assembly line instead of in my machine room. So I put in protest headphones.
Protest headphones?
Which, yeah, I'm protesting real tough with my fucking tiny little, I have tiny little Bluetooth headphones. So I was very bold about it and very brave, and you should be proud of me.
I'm very proud of you.
Yeah, you're darn right.
You are an activist of the ages.
Yeah, damn, like Martin Luther Shakur.
Yep, yep. So, 39th, 8th arrest this year, 39th arrest since 2013. That we know of, because they only said in that particular county. February, she was convicted of second-degree disorderly conduct after trying to hit bar patrons with an alcohol bottle and kicking a police officer.
She don't fight. She don't argue. You know what? Folks have heard us say that, and I wonder if Facebook will boot me off if I do this.
I'm not sure it's popular enough.
Yeah, what's the artist?
I don't know.
You forget. That's like your shit.
I just know the name of the song.
What is it?
Hit the Bitch with a Bottle.
That is horrible.
That's the name of the song.
So you're making, I have to type in the B word.
You do. Yes, you do.
And look, YouTube isn't even suggesting anything. It's like, what the fuck is this guy typing?
Yeah, right. All right. That pink one is.
So we've referenced that a lot in covering Becky Lives Matter stories where they, proceed to swing bottles. And this is like Phoenix Kalita's fucking jam. Truly is.
Only when I'm like drunk and feeling rowdy.
It's a girl song, man. Okay. Let's go.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I love stupid folks.
Yeah. Yeah. What we gonna do, man? We're gonna talk about them girls in the club, man. You know, I got some rowdy girls in here.
Yeah?
Yeah. Just behave.
Rowdy girls in here.
Yes.
Mini collabo. Okay.
Okay. I'm tired of hoes hating because I'm off in the club.
Wait, let me get to the hook.
Bumped out maybe next time. You won't open your goddamn mouth with a Timberland logo branded in your forehead. Glass sticking up right side and the color is red. I don't fight, I don't argue. I just hit that bitch with a bottle. Call a click, don't bother. I just hit that bitch with a bottle. Got problems, I'll solve them. I just hit that bitch with a bottle.
That's Phoenix Kalita's thing. Phoenix Kalita is very into hitting B words with bottles.
Yes. Oh, by the way, there's
in
a
her
gift.
Time up. What's oh, Jesus Christ. He put that on the Twitters?
Yeah.
We got to link that to the program somehow. You can link it in the archive chat section.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So, Where were we?
Yeah, where she didn't fight or argue.
Yeah, she didn't fight or argue. She just hit that bitch with a bottle.
And that was in February.
That was in February. And the condition of the unconscious woman who was assisted by the paramedics, because don't forget, there was someone in the back of the ambulance this whole time, is still unknown. Tim Novotny. The general manager of Bay City's ambulance told the News Review that the recovered ambulance was sent to a garage for a repair estimate. And noted, in 2016, another Roseburg woman named Jolene Marie Barnes was also arrested for stealing an ambulance.
What is happening?
Stealing an ambulance? I don't know.
What the fuck?
She was later convicted on a first-degree aggravated theft charge and sentenced to 22 days in jail and then 60 days in jail for violating her probation.
This is the worst women's march gathering ever.
Steal ambulances?
This is not productive. And what about the fucker getting CPR? They were in a stolen vehicle, probably not being driven defensively.
No.
Well, actually offensively, considering what it crashed into and totaled. Like, did that motherfucker make it?
They don't know. They didn't say.
Woo!
She was unconscious.
Oh, that's good and ominous. So we just don't even know what happened to that person.
Yeah.
That's just a potential fucking death.
Yeah.
It's Jesus Christ.
Yeah. What?
All right, folks. Who's ready for some Tariq Nasheed?
Whew.
Everybody's all three people.
Oh, wait. There's more.
God damn.
Sorry. I thought I was done, but then I saw the hyperlink to another outlet that covered and thought maybe they said about the woman in the back. They have another quote from the driver. I was a good fucking driver. I didn't try to hurt anyone.
Nigga.
What?
This okay. show is brought to you by the fuck that Father Teresa does not give.
I don't know, yo. Let me take a look over here. You can call in and you can hit somebody with a bottle yourself at 347-857-3937. If you're in the archive chat space, you can let me know. Hey, click back on that blog talk tab. I got some shit to say. Now, of course, we preface it with this bullshit. We're going to try to keep this short.
We're not. So.
Now, I'm going to give it a running start.
Okay.
Right? So that it kind of flows into this segment, which Tariq Nasheed doesn't really do segments. He literally kind of riffs and listens to himself talk and looks at his chat room and thinks of his next riff like... He essentially freestyles for an hour or more, is what he does. And he just, and he kind of goes with it. And you can tell when he really thinks he said some shit, because he'll go, you dig? Like, when he thinks he really said some ill shit, you dig? All right. So, now, and then there's this person, Brianna Joy.
Yes.
Right? And Brianna Joy writes for what? The Intercept?
Correct.
And has been published in other spaces as well. And Brianna Joy is pretty, well, I mean, I understand to be lefty-headed, populist, you know.
Yeah.
And whatnot.
Yeah.
I don't know if Brianna Joy is straight-up anti-capitalist, but may have a critique or two. Or three.
At least three.
At least three. All right. And then Brianna Joy is a Negro person and is, I guess, dating a person that, I don't know, we're just saying Asian here. We don't know specific.
Yeah, I don't know specifically what he is other than Asian.
And Tariq Nasheed is married to a half-white woman, so he should be critiquing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that would be different because it's his wife's mother who's white, so it's different when black men date out. And that's why he says Negro bed wench and not Negro bed buck.
He says Negro bed buck like twice a year. It's some Groundhog's Day shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like if he fucking, like he pops his head out of the hotep hole, right? And if and if he sees dust on some Stacey Adams, then he goes back in for four more weeks of Welsing.
Woo!
All right. All right. And they're on the Twitter. Now, and this gets interesting. Again, Tariq riffs. Like, I don't think that nigga even does show prep.
Probably not.
No, because I listen to him, and he literally searches for and finds shit while live.
Yeah.
While I'm just gonna click play. Let's go.
Him in a very simplistic manner. And they don't like the fact that an Ivy League trained white supremacist can have his whole talking points debunked by somebody like me. That really bothers the white supremacists. That really, really bothers the white supremacists. Because what they try to do, they try to come up with all this mumbo jumbo about blacks having lower IQs, and all it is I'm white and I say so. This is why when you deal with those white supremacists using mumbo jumbo, and that's all it is, it's mumbo jumbo. When they start talking about the cerebellum.
What, you think he's repeating himself too much?
That is like my biggest annoyance. And you know it's because he's freestyling and he doesn't have his whole sentence. And he's like, okay, I'm going to have a sentence. This is all mumbo jumbo. And I don't know where I'm going yet. But if I say mumbo jumbo again, it's going to like help me fill in the rest of my mumbo jumbo sentence. Okay,
that's mumbo jumbo, Phoenix. Nobody else. And yeah, this one going forward, this is going to be produced a little different from my end on the engineering side, because Tariq also plays music under his commentary, so we can't play our music. All right,
this and the African brain cells are smaller based on our science, and all of that is just I'm white and I say so.
Okay, now for folks not in the know, the I'm white and I say so is a Neely Fuller thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he thinks that anything that white people say that's not true or making up some sort of new rule or something, they consider that I'm white and I say so. Which, I get, on some level there is some of that, but sometimes it's like, I'm the assistant manager and I'm just repeating what my boss told me because that's my job.
Right.
there's nuance to it, but that for them, those like those little catchphrases, that it makes it easier for them.
Well, because like their whole thing though is that like all white people understand white supremacy and are consciously engaging in it.
Yep.
Like they literally think that, you know, somebody who's, you know, from like a rural white community and just came up hearing racist stuff knows that that's not real, knows that that shit's fake, and they're just choosing to repeat it, not because they've never learned anything else, but because they actually know better. And they're just like, no, just gonna repeat the talking points. Because apparently white people, I don't know, don't know.
I think it was like late 2016, early 7. Actually, I think it was shortly after Trumple-Stiltskin got selected, and Gusty Renegade actually made it like in relatively uncertain terms, like a rule on the Cows program that you're no longer allowed to say that stupid white people exist.
Yeah.
Like, to him, no white person is stupid. None of them. Donald Trump's Twitter feed exists, but no white people are stupid, but colloquially speaking.
He's trying to socially engineer racism on purpose. It has nothing to do with his general ignorance or arrogance. This is a well-crafted plot to do something.
He's like a really smart guy.
He is a really smart guy.
All right. Back to Tariq Elite Radio.
Yeah, I think he called me uppity. Yeah. All of that is just I'm white and I say so. That's all it is. So I never get into all that pseudoscience they like to spew. I take it another route. I say, okay, if that's the case, what should be done with black people then if we're just so less intelligent then? Damn. Well, then the goofball trolling starts. You dig?
I told you, nigga. He thinks he fucking nailed. You dig?
But the point is, a lot of those guys, Jared Taylor, he lived in Japan for a long time. A lot of these guys are clicked in with Asians. And a lot of you have a lot of Asians who are trying to take the place of the white supremacists against us. And if you notice, we've been seeing a lot of aggressive bed wenching lately. And we were back and...
You ready?
Aggressive bed wenching. It's aggressive.
Yep.
All right.
Like in the long line of multi-generational rape victims, now they're getting aggressive about being rape victims.
They are aggressive, very aggressive about it.
Yes, ma'am.
Forth with this one bed wench. Her name is Brianna Joy Gray. Now, Brianna Joy Gray tweeted something that I retweeted. She works for a lot of publications.
Now, first off, lie right there. All right. He didn't retweet it. He did a screenshot.
Of course.
All right.
And she works for, like, I think the Rolling Stone magazine. A lot
of... Wait, does she work for Rolling Stone?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, see, and that's why... Because I know that she, like, is at The Intercept as a staple there.
Yeah.
But I know that she's been published in other places. Let's keep in mind, Tariq Nasheed is just flippantly saying this shit to his captive audience.
Oh, she has... she's a editor at Current Affairs. She has written things periodically for The Guardian and Rolling Stone. But that's not, like, her... You know, that was like some freelance shit.
So the staple job is editor at Current Affairs.
And Intercept.
And The Intercept.
She's an editor at both.
I keep mixing up the fucking Intercept and The Guardian. Which is, I think that's reasonable.
Reasonable. Yeah.
Because they got like the same folks, right?
Similar.
Jeremy Scahill and all them niggas. Yeah. All right. So Tariq Nasheed just said that those are all her jobs.
Yes.
To his audience. All right.
Mainstream publication she writes for. You know, they have her on MSNBC, so understand she's a black chick.
Do they have her on MSNBC?
I don't know. That would be interesting if she was, because she's like kind of left, so I would actually be want to watch it if she was.
You see how short the segment is?
But her name is Brianna Joy Gray. Her name on Twitter is Bree Joy. B-R-I-E Joy.
See, but he got the and fact right when he said what her at was so they could go fucking harass the shit out of her.
Yeah, let's get that one correct.
A tweet saying, some of these race first people, meaning black people who are about...
Now, see, before even going with her whole quote, he had to immediately lie about her quote. All right, so let's see what he says her quote is. Doobie doop doop. Let me run it on back with the colored ball. Doobie doobie doo 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 doo. Hold on. All right, a little bit.
She writes for, you know, they have her on MSNBC. So understand, she's a black chick. But her name is Brianna Joy Gray. Her name on Twitter is Bree Joy. B-R-I-E Joy. And she put up a tweet saying, some of these race first people, meaning black people who are about looking out for black people first.
Now, let's just, because somebody might be tuning in brand new because they were just searching Tariq Nasheed and Brianna Joy and found this episode.
Mm-hmm.
What she's talking about is the disingenuous, all right?
Right.
Don't remove the word disingenuous from this. The disingenuous identity politics crowd, they play race first.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And but that's because they don't want to talk about class. It's just like the people that are very partisan Democrat and they say they're not interested in hearing about the white working class. You ever notice how they also never talk about black working class, Mexican working class?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody working class.
Yes.
They don't want to hear about any working class.
Right. Because, they're just pro-capitalism at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Like, it's really just, you know. As far as I can tell, she was on one segment of Chris Hayes' show.
Oh, after 8 p.m., one segment.
So far is what I could find.
She's on MSNBC. Well, you know what? It was on MSNBC. Therefore, the statement she's on MSNBC should just land flat. And no other details about that, no context, just leave it there. And I mean, and folks that get the snark know what I'm saying. He's making it seem like
it's her job.
Yeah, or like she's a regular contributor, like right. How there will be like how someone will just like, well, Michael Smirkanish,
mm-hmm.
right? Like just on there on the regular.
Right.
All right, let's see.
Well, which is also because they are, MSNBC is known as a Democrat thing, and he's, you know, getting to the whole you're being a sellout to your race by. Being so tightly aligned with the Democratic Party. Like, there's a lot of underlying concepts here.
Yeah. Okay.
She said, some of these race-first people are really invested in making sure no policy even accidentally benefits any white people, no matter what their economic status is.
See, she's talking about classism, no matter what their economic status is.
Right.
But let's see where Tariq goes with this.
Whew.
I don't know what to say except for that is inhumane and it's a sure way to alienate a natural coalition.
All right. So that's right. Her quote. Right. And matter of fact, and let's go look at it, you know. Let's look at it. Where the skibby flippy dibby doo. And yes, that is what she said.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, some of these race first people are really invested in making sure no policy even accidentally benefits any white people, no matter their economic status, and I don't know what to say except for that it is inhumane and a sure way to alienate a natural coalition.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what she said. And when he put up that screenshot of that tweet from her, he put up a picture where he went and downloaded of her and the person she, I don't know, boyfriend, husband, person that she, boyfriend
mm-hmm.
that she's in a relationship with. And, you know, they look like a couple of dorks that found each other.
Yeah.
Let's be real. They look like fucking geeks that found each other and they fucking play Pokemon Go in the garage in Foursquare or whatever. I don't know. I don't know how you play Foursquare with two people, but I threw that out there. I'm going to stand by it.
All right.
All right. Let's do that. All right. So he laid out the quote.
And of course. What up? Now, remember the preface of this is in the Welsing Fuller crowd, there's no such thing as an ignorant white person. They all understand racism. So you have to understand, like, from the contextual point of view, the idea that anything might even possibly help white people is horrible because all white people are actively racist, actively aware of structural racism,
yep.
actively aware of white supremacy. Like, they know all the details, and we're going to help them. So that's, like, that's where the underlying, shaming is coming from, I guess.
Yeah, well, and they not with Tariq Nasheed. Tariq Nasheed says coon, but the more respectable crowd, the Gusty Renegade crowd, they call it confused.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when they say confused, that's them. It's like church people saying bless your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're calling you a coon. All right, Tariq Nasheed. is going to be very reasonable and nuanced here. Ma'am. Miss Ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we immediately looked at who she's dating, and sure enough, she's dating an Asian dude. So we pointed that out. We pointed out her bed wenching, and she's been copping pleas and trying to throw up smoke screens like, oh, God, why are you guys hating on me because I have an Asian boyfriend?
She
you
know, literally that's said a smoke the opposite. Screen. She literally clowned the fuck out of Tariq and is like, hey, here's a picture of his abs. Don't they look great? And like sent him like a shirtless picture of her boyfriend. She was not doing this like, oh, why are you picking on me? She ain't do no shit like that in no kind of fucking way.
Okay, see, I didn't see the whole thread. I looked at a little bit of, and this is from September 19th, this comment that I'm looking at. And right now it's September 24th, 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And her comments, she put, also, my partner is Asian, not that it matters. I've never had a white boyfriend, bed wench, which is a term that describes slavery era power dynamics. I must have missed that part of history where Asian men used black women as sexual objects.
Oh, yeah, she said that, but then she also said she tagged him in a picture with her boyfriend's abs and said, if Tariq Nasheed is mad now, just wait till he sees the boyfriend's abs. And then went back through Tariq's timeline, which Tariq, I'm sure, is about to mention right now. She put up screenshots of, you know, how he'd be selling those, like, game fucking videos and shit and books.
Yeah.
Like, how to coerce women into having sex with you.
Yeah.
The one he put up was, coming soon, Mac Lessons, Interracial Mackin Week, The King of Game, How to Get with Asians, Polynesians, White Americans, Germans, Italians, Europeans, Russians. Latins, Dominicans, Cubans, Mexicans, Middle Eastern, Armenian, East Indian, Persian girls. But, you know, bed wenching is a problem.
Well, and then also, Tariq, he put up a picture of her out with some folks, and it looks like one of them is that guy. I'm not sure. And but they're all male, and mm-hmm. she's with, and it's like, what the fuck ever. But this is what his commentary with the picture. He put, so, Brianna, can you explain this photo? You are the only woman with a group of white and Asian men, and a couple of them are looking at you sexually. This image almost looks like the cover of a porno DVD.
It looks like people at the fucking beach.
Yeah, it really looks like a whole bunch of fucking academics. Even, and you know what? That's only because I know they're academics. Right. Never mind. Let me move on.
Yeah, it just looks like fucking people at the beach.
Yeah.
I don't know what looking at her sexually means, but okay.
I mean, the two guys at the end look like they're looking at her, therefore sexually.
Okay. I mean, okay.
I mean, I'm not a patriot. Like, if there's anything that I would beef with is that she has an American flag bathing suit, and I'm not patriotic like that.
I thought it was just stars.
Oh, they remind me of the stars from the flag, right?
Oh,
they're
yeah.
White. Yeah, the stars are white, and the background is blue. Yeah. Looks flaggy.
Eh.
Flagler County. That's Florida stuff right there. If you know Flagler County, you've been listening to this here program. All right. So Tariq is going to say more things that are true and nuanced and fact-based facts. Mm-hmm.
Why are y'all hating on my Asian boyfriend is a public defender and he helps black and brown people all the time. I mean, she's just copying all types of pleas. And what's interesting, a lot of her white...
Now, what see, up? I have the tweet that he's referring to.
Yeah.
First of all, she has laughing emojis. She's not upset. And says, the best part of this is the assumption made by many in the thread that my partner, a public defender, supports me financially. While Tariq tweets, my partner is on trial defending a low-income brown client from deportation. I'm comfortable with my choices. How he framed her sounded like. She said, I'm comfortable with my choices.
That's not what she said. All right, you want to go back and hear what she actually said?
Okay, what she actually said.
He's a public defender, and he helped at who she's dating. And sure enough, she's dating an Asian dude. Time, I mean, she's just copying all types of pleas. And what's interesting, a lot of her white coworkers ran to her defense.
Oh, I fucked up.
Is a public defender, and he helps black and brown people all the time. I mean, she's just copying all types.
That's what she actually said.
I'm comfortable with my choices, said Bree.
Nah. This, what Tariq said is what's true.
Yeah, uh-huh. Which yeah. is, you know, funny because that's what happens when your captive audience doesn't fact check.
Please. And what's interesting, a lot of her white coworkers ran to her defense. And that's another thing. Whenever black people are engaging in discourse with one another, notice the white supremacist.
Because, you know, when Tariq Nasheed talks to women that he considers to be bed wenches, it's just engaging in discourse.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. There's no name calling, no slut shaming, no pile on from the followers.
Mm-hmm. The funny thing about slut shaming is when you look at the... Again, that's why there's no such thing as a slut. But look at the way these people use the word slut, right? Like, well, you're just out there just bingity-banging with everybody, right? Monogamous relationship, I'm going to slut shame you.
Like, right,
misogynists
exactly.
are funny people.
Yeah.
And dangerous people.
This is just pop out of nowhere. They love injecting themselves into black conversations. The white supremacists, flooded with
bad.
White.
What up?
This wasn't a black conversation. He just came for her and tweeted something that she has been writing about in these circles for a very long time, very extensively, and framed it in a disingenuous manner. And people responded accordingly. This was not a specifically black conversation by any means.
He just said it was.
Nigga, if you don't get...
And it wasn't a conversation. It's discourse.
It was not discourse.
They were engaging.
No.
Yes.
No.
White supremacists defending her. Whenever white supremacists are defending a Negro that much, you know. You already know what it is.
You know what's also interesting is the biggest people defending her weren't even white. It was actually like... Yeah, it was like the leftist of leftist Twitter, but it was... The multiracial leftist Twitter.
No.
Yes.
Tariq just said it was white supremacists.
I heard what Tariq said.
Okay, so then you know what the actual reality is.
Uh-huh.
And so does Michael Graham of Actify Press. He wanted to know what facts were. Now you know. And now you know what I listen to twice a week. I play Alex Jones once a week, Tariq Nasheed twice a week. I haven't played Michael Savage in... over 18 months, and Phoenix Khalid is very sad about that. She misses hearing the Savage.
What the fuck would I be sad about that for?
You like hearing Michael Savage.
Ugh.
Because they don't defend black folks for shit. Black folks get their brains blown out by race soldiers every day. They say nothing. But
see, again, what? I gotta reiterate, these were far leftists. They don't like police either. These are the white people who show up to Black Lives Matter rallies. These are the non-white people, but non-black people who, yes, 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 yes. Stop shaking your head at me. But no, this is like, when it comes to like Latino people who are doing organizing, Asian people doing organizing, black people doing organizing, the white people who are helping with the organizing. This is the... core set that she runs with and interacts with on social media. So to be like, well, white people don't defend us when cops fuck us up. No, these are the people who are like, hashtag abolish ICE. These are the people saying we need to get these cops fired. These are the people who show up to events and rallies and protests. Like, but this is what happens when you don't know and you're like, I'm just gonna make some shit up because I know nobody's gonna fact check me.
I mean, it, allegedly.
Nigga.
The minute another two black people have a disagreement, all of a sudden, hey, wait a minute now. Don't discriminate against her because she doesn't think like all the other blacks.
That's what they said, right?
Said no one.
That's a verbatim quote.
What the fuck?
Yes, from the white supremacist.
Damn well, if it was a very verbatim quote, he would have been like, at this person who said this racist bullshit and repeated their name five times so his followers could find them.
He did. He said it really fast.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see, sometimes when he's talking, he starts macking and it goes over your head.
Maybe I was just Mac. Listening slow.
That's a great fucking Tretch line.
You understand? So all the suspected white supremacists came out defending her from all of these liberal publications. Rolling Stone, Vice, all of these so-called fake white liberal publications jumped out defending her.
I don't even know what the fuck he just tried to describe. Fake white liberal? Are they fake white or are they fake liberal? What the fuck? Are they fake white and liberal? So are these black people?
I think he actually means fake leftist, but doesn't know the term.
He doesn't know what the like, fuck he's
if
talking
he,
about.
I swear to fucking God, if he knew what, if he was down with like terms like Bernie Bros, he would be saying it like mad right fucking now.
Oh shit, don't let him find out that term. Oh man, that makes me want to just fucking like troll tweet at him and tell him that fucking white supremacist Bernie Bros just attacked a black boy.
Oh, Jesus.
And they put him in a tutu.
And then Imani Gandhi's going to retweet it.
And then you'd have Tariq Nasheed and Imani Gandhi agreeing.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, I'm not. I will not engage in that sort of behavior.
That shows you their mindset. They love trying to protect their token Negroes. And
you know, did you know she's a token?
She is a token. That's why she's the one who has all these writing gigs and the people following her don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because she's the token.
See?
Yeah.
No one black has ever published anything with any of these people.
There are no black leftists. They don't exist.
Nope. No. Not even you, Michael Graham.
Yeah, he's actually white. He just
Michael Graham's white?
Yeah, he just tans really, really well.
I just be assuming people are black.
No, he's black.
Oh! I think...
Which, if you think he's not, talk to him on the phone. He got some nigga in his voice.
Oh, Jesus. I think that was a thing with me, though. Like, especially, like, in my late teens, early 20s. Like people I interacted with on the internet, I was just like, yeah, this nigga's cool. And then, like, you know, like, as the internet progresses and you can do more, we got mm-hmm. pictures of ourselves. It's like, how many of you guys are white? Jesus Christ. I heard you rap. What the? All right.
Understand, she works for The Guardian, NY Mag, Current Affair, The Intercept, all of these publications. And a lot of folks were exposing the fact that this woman... She gives her opinion, and they put her in these publications to give her opinions on black issues. And when we look at her social media,
how this are you being exposed? Like, it's her job. It's in her Twitter bio. How are you exposing her?
Because no one knew.
I work for Current Affair. I am exposing you that you work for Current Affair.
Yeah. Like, what? That's fucking hard-hitting investigation. He read a bio. You know how hard those are to find?
Woo.
You have to go to someone's profile and click on it. And click on that shit. What are you fucking joking me? I'm telling you, man. And a lot of people write for these publications. Mm-hmm. I tell you. And I just feel like hearing this.
And we recognize mercenaries trying to pimp us out like that little bitch, Eminem, and his little wannabe thug pansies behind him who aren't real men who wouldn't take on the globalists like Donald Trump or anybody else.
Yeah.
There are similarities between Alex Jones, Tariq Nasheed, and Donald Trump big time.
Oh,
like,
a lot.
Rhetorically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is anybody on the phone?
Oh, shit. Hey.
Hey.
347-857-3937. Yeah, nothing in the archive chat space. No one on the teleo phone. Aww. Folks want to hear news and comment. They are tired of these. We don't have that many Tariq episodes.
No.
Shit, man. We have over 700 episodes. Pick one. We got some shit. Let's see.
Woman doesn't hang with any black people. All her Facebook, her social media is her hanging with white and Asians. I mean, going all the way back to when she was in high school. This woman basically
hung. You
went
back all the way to high school and looked at her social media, really?
Really? Yeah, because she had social media in high school. Blackplanet.com.
Shit.
Nigga. Which, I mean, it's arguable if that was the first social media site.
I think it was.
Yeah. I mean, and now you could say something about that, like, but that's if this person or any other black person is basically always around white people, doesn't that have something to do with the way class segregates us?
Yes, it does.
Because, like, again, like, I think I was riffing with somebody about that. Yeah, and there was a new black woman that's working at the factory, and we were just riffing. It was the end of the shift, and yeah, I was talking about like I'm never around black people anymore. I haven't lived in a black neighborhood since 2001.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I went back and I hung a little bit in 2004 before I went to Florida. And I haven't lived in a black neighborhood since I was 17, really.
And also, see, what he didn't mention is that she has a degree from Harvard. She's like a lawyer and shit.
Yeah, well, you know, it's flooded with black people. It's like
flooded with black people in Harvard.
It's a Harvard. That's one of them HBCUs.
Shit.
See you when I get there. Shit. Yeah, man. I'll tell you what. But yeah, man. Like that's like, and I remember hearing like when I was a teenager, like more and more black girls are going to college and getting higher degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, my little ignorant teenage ass would have predicted to you then that they're probably going to be around a lot of white people and maybe date non-black people because that's who they're around. Yeah, that's just who you're with. That's like how people end up, people that are at jobs forever, you date their coworkers. Like working at the factory I work in, you start to, like, over and over, you keep hearing people say, oh yeah, no, that's my husband right over there. That's my wife right over there. That's like, everybody just says, because that's who you're fucking around. That's who the fuck you're around. That's who you're fucking around sounds weird with the context.
That's a little weird.
Yeah.
That's a little weird.
Yeah, man. All right, let's go. Let's skibby flippy jibby do. Tariq Nasheed, it gets better.
Oh, man.
That could be a double entendre. Double entendre.
With white and Asians, a few token Negroes around, but basically she's all hooked in with whites and Asians. And that proves a point that we've always made before. These so-called liberal media publications, they vet Negroes. They vet Negroes early on.
I don't know if you knew that. Now, keep in mind what he just framed this with and where he's about to go. So Vice, MSNBC, they vet Negroes early on.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's go into his early on. Don't forget how we framed it. They early vet on. Negroes mm-hmm. early on.
Stan, bedwinches and coons are vetted very early. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to break that down again. Bedwinches and coons are vetted all the way in elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, a
so
lot of times.
Vice was trying to get Bree in elementary school.
Fact.
Okay. Now I am confusion.
Why?
Because I don't know. You know, I have done some things in my time, including being featured in an article on Rolling Stone.
Yep.
And The Guardian.
They vetted you, nigga.
And I wrote something for Vice.
Yep.
So, I am I what?
Fucking bedwinch. See how white I am? You do a show called The White Podcast.
Nigga.
With White Cellar Media. .pale.
White Cellar Media .pale, really?
Yeah.
And I was like, that's weird because, I don't know. Online, I tend to be in primarily black spaces. Or at least non-white spaces.
No. Who owns the website? The white man, therefore bedwinch. Blam.
Oh, okay.
Blam.
Okay.
What color's the paint on the walls? Okay, that's beige. Off-white, but that...
It's spicy Latina.
So it's Sean King, nigga. What the fuck? Yo, that's...
Well, I don't know, man. I don't know.
I don't even care if Sean King's a fucking swarthy white man or whatever. The shit... I think the Sean King jokes are just funny, but I don't... Wait, there is some reason to be mad at him. What did he...
Because he be taking black women's work.
Ah, like stealing journalism and shit.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's like straight up like plagiarism, like taking articles in things black women write, but he definitely like takes the concepts, and because he has such a much bigger audience, his shit is the one that gets the clicks and not the people that he borrowed the ideas from in the first place. Yeah, he do a lot of that. And he's like has some shady issues with money, like fundraising and shit, and then people don't always know where the money goes and comes and is and
oh,
was.
Oh, he's Umar in it.
And...
Get him a conscious stripper. We'll break this shit down.
The parents, they will get the black kid and send them to, you know, a white school, all white school, where they're the only black person there. So right there, you already know what it is. They're being vetted to being a coon. That's how Sheriff Clark became a coon. His family moved into a white neighborhood. They were like one of the few black families there, so he was the only black kid, so they used to call him all types of niggas.
Wait, how is he the only black kid if there were other black families there?
Huh?
Huh?
They didn't have kids.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they were gay.
Okay.
And they can't adopt. Yeah, so no kids.
Mm-hmm.
Blam.
Blam.
Nailed it. I did it Tariq style. Just say it, therefore it's true.
To fit in, he started, you know, taking on their ideology. And now look what we have, a whole full-grown coon. And they do this with a lot of these bedwinches. They send them to these all-white schools where they're the...
Now, so basically he's saying that the parents are turning...
Black parents are turning black daughters into bedwinches by forcing them to be around white people.
Bam!
Yeah, it doesn't have to fucking make sense, apparently.
And so even if this
also remember to start it out by him saying Vice and MSNBC and Intercept and whoever are vetting them. Now it's your parents trained you to be a coon bedwench. So I'm sorry, are they still being vetted or were they trained or what are we doing again?
They're being veteran. They're being veterinarian. They're vexed. I don't know.
Only little token Negro.
How does he know? I don't even know where the fuck she went to elementary school. How the fuck does he know?
As he knows, hard-hitting journalism.
Shit.
Do you not hear this fucking well-thought-out monologue?
Oh, yeah, I hear all the citations, too. It's amazing. I fucking love citations.
You dig?
That's not a citation. You dig is not a citation.
Then children naturally want to fit in, and if you're the only black kid around a bunch of white kids, even if you're not the only black kid, if there's a lot of other black kids and you just go to school with white kids, period, and they're the majority in the school, they're going to try to make little racial comments. I know when I went to school down south in elementary school, you know, we had a lot of black kids. It was a lot of us, and there was a lot of white kids, and the white kids would still try to make little racial comments, but I knew how to snap back at them.
But you didn't learn how to not marry into a black family.
You don't know that.
Hmm?
All right? And you can tell by how he's talking right now that he's quite snappy. All right?
All right, Snaps McGee, let's go.
I think you could elevate him into the snapposphere, if you will.
Snapposphere.
All right.
Come at you, so I can imagine if you're like one of the own...
Oh, my goodness. Okay, let me dance it back a teeny weeny beeny 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 boo, because... Tally Loco just arrived in the archive chat space, said, what up, motherfuckers, I'm late.
Hey, Tally.
That's verbatim. So what, just because you're tuning in just now, what's happening is Michael Graham from Actify Press, Actify Chat, was like, hey, man, you motherfuckers need to do a Tariq Nasheed episode before I beat your ass. And I was like, well, I've had my ass kicked before. Don't need that again. So we are, we're doing that. And it's Tariq Nasheed. You said hashtag snapposphere. I know these new words are hop skippity fresh. I'll tell you.
Oh, Jesus!
And he's talking about Brianna Joy, Bree Joy on the Twitter, and he's breaking down how she's a Negro bedwinch, if you will, and and how Vice and all these outlets, The Guardian and the whatnot, they vet coons and Negro bedwinches in elementary school. That's the short of it. All right, let's continue on.
Imagine if you're like one of the only black kids in the school. They're going to really come at you and make you a coon. And children, you naturally want to fit in. So being in that environment, that's a coon incubator.
Coon incubator.
They make baby coons that way.
Oh,
shit. I didn't even know he knew the word incubator.
And also, let's say you don't go to an all-white school. Even if you're the black kid in a black school who kind of stands out. And what makes you stand out is your sexual orientation.
Oh, come
What? You did. Oh,
fucking A.
You didn't think that it was going to get homophobic.
It's moist.
All right, here we go.
A lot of times, the black boy who's switching around a little bit.
Now, keep in mind, when they're saying switching, what they're talking about is like walking hip heavy.
Yeah, like a femme.
Yeah. Femme. Like his generation of homophobes, they like the word switching. I think I've heard Nas use it in old raps in the 90s. Mm. All right, let's see.
You know, the white teachers are kind of take a little liking to him. They'll kind of pull him to the side and he'll be the teacher's pet.
Right, because you know how gay kids are protected in schools from bullies and shit.
Especially black ones.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Yep. So, and keep in mind, he said a lot of times, he knows this. He's got the facts and the figures.
He does.
All right. Little black boys switching around.
Like that little bitch, Eminem.
All right.
Oh my fucking God.
Would not be tolerated.
Same thing. The little girl who's a little studdish. You know, they're
studdish.
All right. So little black boy switching around and little girl studdish. Keep watch how he works this. But to his audience, he ain't working us. I'm gonna fall for this shit.
They'll pull her to the side, the PE teacher, because usually there's a white stud as a PE teacher. They'll pull her to the side. She'll be the teacher's pet. So, children.
It's still funny to me that every queer black male is femme and every queer black woman is butch to him.
Yep.
Like, okay.
There are no masculine gay people.
There aren't any masculine gay men. None. There are no. There are no femme lesbians, actually. Like, that's a thing.
Like, nah.
Yeah. Pillow princess, lipstick lesbian. Those aren't even real terms, actually.
Pillow princess?
Yeah.
All right. You know what? It's none of my business, really. Like, I shouldn't have to try to. Yeah, I should leave it alone. Pillow princess.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it would have something to do with pillow fighting.
No, it's about sex preferences, not I'm orientation. But yeah, you know.
I'm sure there's probably some act where someone says, "Well, actually, pillow fighting is when we." And then I'm like, "Man, you've gone out of my league of things that I know that's going on." All right, let's see. Tariq Nasheed getting homophobic. There's Katie Loco in the joint. Tally Loco in the joint. Jessica up in the joint and Jan Loco up in the joint. Tariq Nasheed. Keep in mind, this whole thing started with Brianna is a bedwinch.
Yep.
Because, and keep in mind, and it all started from him not understanding that she was talking about partisan politics and disingenuous application of identity politics.
Yep.
And he turned that into gay children because conservatives are always thinking about your genitals.
It's fucking weird.
Who's showing LGBT signs at a young age, they start betting them. This is why you look at a lot of...
Did you know that there's LGBT signs at a young age?
Yeah, it was actually like a checklist. It's usually covered in glitter. Has some rainbow stickers on it, and then you can just check them off as a child does them and then determine for their entire rest of their lives what their orientation is going to be and how they're going to present, and you could, like, first grade, you'd be knowing. It's over. It's done.
And that, like, the way that's being said, that's something I worked on ending with the wine cellar in, like, I think late 2014, where I was like, I gotta stop saying LGBT, because that's four different things.
Right.
Like, oh yeah, that's my kid right there. That's my lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender kid. Good kid right there. Really knows how to kick a football through the uprights. I'll tell you what. That's my kid. You know, like, that's... God, it's not a word.
Oh, no. What is Tally doing?
Tally Loco said LGBT signs, ? And then in asterisks put... Studley switches away.
that actually would be like the new dance, the Studley switch. I'm feeling it.
And Fallon Loco, FallonKitty.com said, I have no words. Telling you, anybody tuning in just now, play back the archive so you can get the full context of like how he got here.
Yeah.
And you can hear the Becky Lives Matter story that opened up the program.
That was a good story.
It's fun stuff.
Of those publications, those mainstream white publications, many of the black people who work there are LGBT.
Did you know that? Again.
He's mad at her because she's dating an Asian man, not an Asian woman. What is happening?
Or a black LGBT woman. A lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender woman. Which, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I settled for you. I was trying to find one of them.
Well, you know.
We're talking unicorns like a motherfucker.
Like, 1 out of 4 ain't bad.
All right. Let's see.
Because they've been vetted. They vetted them.
Mm-hmm.
They've been told that they're not like other black folks. They've been told, okay,
you're the one telling gay kids they're not like other black folks. You're the one trying to convince them that they're mentally ill or had bad social conditioning and that's why they're gay.
For Umar Johnson says they've all been sexually assaulted by
an
adult.
They've all been sexually assaulted.
Every single one.
Right. And it's actually a mental illness. And he can cure it because he's a doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cure yourself, ooh.
Since you've been ostracized by the other blacks, we'll embrace you. So, the black kid, the little black boy who's switching around, he becomes the teacher's pet, and he gets a pass. They don't treat him.
See, what's wild about this, though, is he's low-key saying, I'm going to be homophobic, even though I'm directly admitting that my homophobia and the homophobia of people like me is what is making these kids end up being coons. Like, you are literally saying that you are pushing propaganda to turn children into coons because it's the homophobia that is pushing them away from their peers. Homophobia that they are picking up from niggas like you. So you're actually making coons, not the parents.
Or you just don't understand how he is trying to mansplain bedwinching to you. And you have to talk about gay children to do this.
You do have to talk about gay children to talk about bedwinching.
Him as fucked up as they treat the other black kids. They kind of treat him special. They keep him around, especially if it's a white woman teacher. The white woman teacher, they love a little black boy who's switching around.
What?
Because the black boy who's masculine, that's almost a threat. They don't want that.
Almost a threat.
Almost a threat. But also, I like how he's saying that white people don't be homophobic.
No, they don't.
No.
That's, you didn't know that. All right? Like, look, there are gay white people that we interact with in the social media. Ask them. They'll tell you. They'd be like, fuck no. Like, I only know homophobic niggers.
Mm-hmm.
And they are very mean to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That masculine boy taking a little white girl to the prom. So they'll elevate the little boy switching around. You dig?
Oh, damn it.
What, you dig? Hey, that's how you know he says some wild, some real deal shit. Mm-hmm. You dig?
Mm-hmm.
And give him college recommendations. So he, same thing. He goes to college, high recommendations. He gets cool with those college professors. They like him. They take a liking to the little black kid who's switching around. They love a gay black kid. Because they look at that as not being a threat. And I'm not, that's not to disparage the gay brothers and sisters.
He always does
every
that
every fucking time.
The one he hasn't said this one in a while. Not shitting on gay people. Like he used to say that a great deal
it's
of
like
time.
The black version of no disrespect. It's like white people, they'd be like, no disrespect, but and then they say like the most ridiculous ass sideways bullshit to you.
Oh,
like, but no disrespect.
Yeah, I got one of those. And Fallon Local said projecting Mandingo much.
Shit.
And yeah, I remember back in the old days on the internet, on the old hip hop website, a forum website.
Mm-hmm.
And and folks were talking about movies they like or movies that they don't like. And I was like, yeah, I don't really like this Lord of the Rings thing, but yeah, my biological sister, man, she is really into the Lord of the Rings. And this Italian cat that was on the website said, no disrespect, but I'll punch your sister in the fucking face.
What the hell?
Apparently, he really doesn't like Lord of the Rings.
Damn.
And because I already knew he was Italian, I can just read a voice into it. Because, like, let's throw the whole stereotype on top of it. Man, I feel like watching that program on the Hulu. What was that one? The program where the Italian family went into protective custody.
Oh, forget about it.
Forget about it. Forget about it on the Hulu. That is a
funny little cartoon. Forget about it in Regina. Regina, Canada.
And Fallon Matthew, FallonKitty.com said, doobadoop, skip flippadoo, said, nah, the faculty and universities view all black kids as threats and or nuisances. See, because if you think about it, if they are this liberal and not homophobic, then gay black boy is a threat to gay white boys instead of white gals.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're just going to stick at step one. Fuck the rest of the staircase, B.
Take it, fuck the staircase. Hey, that's something we used to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
...is out there. I'm just telling you how the white supremacist society also, looks.
How does this nigga know? What colleges, what conversations is he privy to? He know that many? And for somebody who's like, you have to be around black people, how I hear around so many fucking white college professors? Why you know, I don't know that many white college professors. Why the fuck you know that many white college professors? Are they related to your mother-in-law?
Ma'am. Get out of here. All right.
Being a threat. And I'm not, that's not to disparage the gay brothers and sisters out there. I'm just telling you how the white supremacist society looks at you and all of us in comparison to each other. So the little gay black kids, they go to college and they start little, they get clicked in with other white gay organizations and they're being used as the front person for those white gay organizations. The white gay organizations, they love getting the black person to be their token mascot. They love getting the black person and saying, hey, this guy's been discriminated against, and discriminating against him because of race is like discriminating against us because we're gay. So we're all in this together, aren't we? And then the white group gets all types of money and donations by using the Negro as the mascot. So the mascot Negro thinks, okay, well, damn.
Can anybody name a white gay organization that has a black person as the face of it?
Oh, I don't know. Is Don Lemon the face of CNN?
No.
CNN's a gay organization. All right.
Okay.
It's cock nut nut. So, yeah. People wanted to hear crass and filth. There you go. I said cock on the program. You feel good about yourself? You like tuning into shit like this? There you go.
Wow, so, I love stupid bullshit like this.
Yeah, they do. That gummit.
Oh, cool. I love stupid bullshit like this.
I'm special. He's been treated special all his life. And then when he gets out of college, he gets a job recommendation.
So, let's be clear here. Femme, black, cis boys get treated special their entire lives. Teacher's pet in elementary, junior high, and high school. College recommendations. And then they get the extracurriculars in college. They get their degrees and get great careers. That is the trajectory of the femme, cis, black boys into manhood. That's the truth.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Long as you know.
Mm. All of a sudden, he got a job up at CNN right out of college.
Damn.
That right, Don Lemon.
Wait, so he went to CNN right out of college?
Yeah.
All right. There wasn't that point in time when he was just working out of New York, but fuck, hey, fuck that. That didn't happen.
We're not doing facts today, William. Facts are stupid.
Fallon is actually Fallon Kitty now.
Oh. Okay,
Fallon Kitty put, Phoenix is right. How is this guy speaking with such authority? Where is he getting his intel? Man, I wish we had time to talk about this shit that Cree is doing. Cree, the person that CREE goes by, Counter Racist Evolving Engineer, and they've been recently posting about this is a cis woman, mm-hmm. and they're one of the children of Welsing, all right? And they've been posting about how they've been in talks with a man that is keyed in with DC, and she's been getting secrets about the JFK assassination and all sorts of shit. Yeah, all sorts of shit like that. And he's a super rich, very old man that wants to date her or wants to get her into politics himself. He's not sure yet. And he has no name.
That's very... I either want to give you an independent career or I want to fuck you. Those are not...
And he's not sure. But just know that she's in talks with him and she's getting a lot of information that she can't give us details on, but she has it.
Oh my God, this is going to be like the black people. This is the nigga version of that Q shit.
Q Dogs?
No.
Quincy Jones?
No.
John Q?
No.
That's a good movie. Denzel Washington trying to save the boy. His fucking heart exploded, didn't it? Some shit happened? Mm. All right. Tariq Nasheed, we got to wrap this segment. Well, show, really.
Yeah.
You dig?
You dig?
That's why whenever you go to a white corporation, anywhere you go, if you go to a white corporation, there's always a black man switching around the office. I've never been to a company before that was.
Yeah.
I have worked in offices my whole life. I have never worked with a gay black man. Ever.
I know. At my job, like when I go into the office area, there's that white woman, there's that woman from Mexico, there's that black woman. There's the other black woman, and there's that masculine black man. He's in there, and then there's the other masculine black guy, and there's the guy from India, and so they're always there.
Well, I mean, once I worked with a gay Filipino guy, I guess that's almost the same thing.
Yeah, no, Filipinos are black.
No, oh, okay.
Yeah, so there you go. Tariq Nasheed's right again.
Was a white-owned company that didn't have a black man switching around that office. I've never been to one. I've always seen it. Every time I go to business meetings.
But see, it would be so easy to start naming these companies. Why you ain't do that?
Liable.
Yeah, okay.
Having gay black men is illegal. And if you accuse someone of having a gay black man, then there's liability. And then, he'll get a cease and desist letter.
Okay.
For exposing them.
Mm-hmm.
You saw how he exposed Bree. He clicked on her bio.
He did expose Bree by clicking on her bio.
Okay.
We expose that she works at The Intercept.
All right. You want investigative journalism, you go to Tariq Elite Radio.
Yeah, okay.
Motherfucker.
Here's that black dude switching around the office. They always got him. You dig? And I'm not saying that to disparage the brothers. I'm just telling you social politics. This is what we're talking. We're talking social politics right now. You dig?
You dig?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So...
What? He's very proud of himself for saying social politics.
Shit.
Okay.
And I also like that it went from companies vet you to your parents condition you to actually your teachers condition you to companies vet you again.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good.
And remember how it went from liberal media organizations to just corporations.
Any corporation. Every corporation.
All of them.
Okay. See? Not all corporations.
I mean, and getting incorporated, that's like getting yourself in business, right?
Yeah.
So like on some level, the Young Turks is corporation, and they have J.R. Jackson. He's pretty femme. You've heard him. You've seen that guy with the comic book tattoos?
Yeah, he's not exactly
femme. Yeah, he's pretty switchy.
Who's the gay femme on Fox News?
That nigger, Shepard Smith. Black ass.
Okay.
I forgot the other one. There's a real high femme, a black white man on a, it's like the Fox 5 or some shit like that.
Uh-huh.
You know the one that fucking like slicks his hair up?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's always talking some, what up?
Churches are corporations. How many churches do you think have gay femme black men working in their offices? Just.
Does the choir director ever go in the office?
No.
Then a lot is the number. All right.
I'm just saying.
A lot of teen.
It's still hilarious to me, though, that he's basically saying people become coons because homophobia pushes them away from the black community. But I'm not going to stop being homophobic. So it's good. I like it.
Oh, the point is, they don't want black folks around who's used to being around or hanging around other black people. So when they get a bed wench, they like the fact that she don't hang around other black people. And notice they get these bed wenches to work at these media organizations to be the voice of black society. Now, how does that work? If these people are hired to be the voice of black society, and if you look at them, all they do is hang around white people or non-blacks, how are they the voice of black people? Well, that's easy. These media organizations, they don't give a shit about what's going on or what type of culture that we're trying to bring to the table or what type of influence we're trying to bring. They don't want a black person in their offices with that mentality.
Oh, you heard him do an Amy Goodman?
I heard it.
Yeah. Oh, he snorted a mean one.
So I was just thinking, isn't his company a corporation? Does he have a gay black man?
Maybe it's him. Shit, man. Fuck.
He's not that. Well, he might be gay, but he's not femme.
Hey, he sounds pretty femme. I'm not saying shit that makes sense at all. All right. I think we're getting to the close of this one.
Yes.
They want a Negro who don't have any type of camaraderie with the average black person so that they can indoctrinate that bedwench or that coon to use the propaganda that the white supremacists put out. So they get these Negroes up there who really despise black society, and they tell them what to say. They tell them what to bring back into black society, or they tell them what to spew as representations of black society. Notice these people like Lovey, that anti-black American Nigerian stud.
Stud.
Okay.
People like her, there's pictures of her floating around doing a lecture, is nothing but white people. And they like to make her almost a black leader. They have people like DeRay McKesson. They prop him up and say that this
this is pretty much where it gets to the end. He starts, he barely even like brings it back to fucking Breanne or Joy. I listened to the whole episode twice. And so there you go. Michael Graham. You like that Tariq Nasheed shit, brother? And looking back at the archive chat space, Fallon Kitty, FallonKitty.com, said, I feel like this could be a B-side to the wife school huckster's bogus rhetoric.
Yes.
And that is
Fallon Matthew. Which we have to do another wife school episode because she's still doing some wild shit.
And keep in mind, if she does delete it, it's all right. I downloaded that video.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the 28-minute one.
Yeah.
All right, and no, they did not ask me to work overtime today. I won't work overtime tomorrow because I go in early Wednesday by default, folks. So this week is going to be different from last week. Significantly less overtime. I work the weekend every week anyway, so there's always going to be 8 hours overtime. It's just whether or not I pile on top of it on the weekdays. So there's going to be more Wine Cellar this week than last week.
Very good.
All right. And trying to get dooba doop scoop bop flibbity doop dop ba dooba doo. That's the noise I make when I'm trying to do something and I don't want to have dead air. But trying to get a couple of guests on the program. One of them, his name is William Washington, and I want to get him on for Free Thought Conversation. And I want to get him to start his own podcast called Black Studies and Critical Thinking. I hope I can get him to do this. And fun fact, his name is William Washington. Before the foster care system, that was my name. But now I'm William Jackson. And I also want to get, there's a white woman who works in psychology, psychiatry, something psychified.
Okay.
And she has words to say about children being separated from their parents.
Oh, about the border?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and she contacted me to let me know she's going to try to work her schedule out and see when she can get on the program.
Yes.
All right, so we want to do that whole business. What the heck, darn? Where the Jews at? All right. Just making sure nothing's left in the archive chat space. Yes, everything's good. Mm-hmm. And Facebook Live, we're out of here. PayPal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam. Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. Thank you some of the folks. Some grits just came through. That shit goes toward bills,
yes.
Keeping the Wine Cellar up and running. And also, like, just helping us out. Like, we can actually sit and watch Wentworth because money comes out of the PayPal to go to Netflix so that Phoenix and I can watch Wentworth and try to figure out how they're going to do this without B. Smith.
I think they're doing okay so far.
Yeah, I like the boxer.
Yeah.
Both of them, actually.
Yeah.
Like, the one with the fuck, she was like, really? 4-on-1 and I'm going to the hole? Get the fuck out of here. She whooped their ass. All right. All right, folks. Have a good one. Face Booze Live. Oh, I almost turned off the tab instead of clicking end video. Whoo. Okay. Facebook Live ended. Regular podcast audio. All right. 1 hour and 25 minutes. That's reasonable-ified. You folks, peace.